If everyone will stand for the scripture reading, it's just one verse, verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob." You may be seated. We have seen in our biblical history studies several different races of people. The Canaanites are one interesting group of people that the Judeo-Christian movement, a branch of Roman Catholicism, could not answer with a consistent view on their issue of equality. The Canaanites became a mongrel mix from Canaan, descendant of Ham, and the Kenites, who were descended from Cain. Many of these people in the days of ancient Israel had very tall and strong giants living among them and mixing with them. The Judeo-Christian will agree that the Canaanites were to be completely killed by God's people. They were instructed by God's own words. He didn't instruct his people to send missionaries first with the intent to try to convert some of them, but to kill every man, woman, child and infant, including even their animals. There is not one descendant of the Kenites or Canaanites who ever heard, obeyed, the words of God. They are not even once referred to as being his sheep. But the answer of the Judeo-Christian is, quote, "That was the Old Testament. We are living in the New." The death of Jesus Christ hadn't happened yet. And when that occurred, a major change happened. One of the major changes was that Jesus' death was for all races of people from his death forward, not backward, unquote. What? It wasn't a redemption for anyone who lived prior to his death? Adam, Seth, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, Samson, Samuel, Joseph, Moses, Judah, David, John the Baptist, just to name a few of the millions of God's people who lived prior to the death of their kinsman redeemer. They were not saved from their sins by the death of Jesus Christ. They had previously been given a temporary one-year atonement by an annual animal sacrifice that was abolished when the death of Jesus Christ once and forever superseded that sacrifice. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ did away with all the animal sacrifices, and his death did not have to be repeated as the animal sacrifices were over and over each year. It was a one-time event that applied to all his people, where they lived before or after the atonement, that guaranteed the provisions of the Abrahamic covenant. So if Jesus Christ did not die for any of the Canaanites who lived before his death, why would he die for any who lived after his death? The same is true for all the races and mongrels: the Chinese, Black Africans, Indonesians, Eskimos, Koreans, New Guineans, Canaanites, Edomites, Ammonites, Moabites, Sheolites, Mexicans, and so forth. Many of these people never heard of Jesus Christ, let alone believe in him. And if he did die for any of the other races, where in the Holy Scriptures is a recording of this earth-shattering, drastic, sudden change? Who was the first non-Israelite to become a part of the covenant of blood? It would have to be prominently displayed in the Holy Scriptures as to nullify the covenant that he had made with his people. For all peoples would now be equal. They would all be his children. Is it the same as Christ's Mass or Christmas, which has no reference in the Bible as being one of God's feast days? There are many verses that depict Israel celebrating the feast days of Tabernacles, Day of Atonement, Trumpets, Passover, Pentecost, Jubilee, but not even one verse instructing his people to celebrate the birthday of their God, which is celebrated in the wrong season and is celebrated in a universal atmosphere. In fact, it is the birthday of a multitude of false gods. But the birthday of Jesus Christ was during tabernacles, in the fall, not in the beginning of winter. His death was on Passover, not Easter. The Judeo-Christian does not keep God's feast days. They are told to keep feast days that have no mention at all in the Holy Scriptures, that is, Christ, Mass, and Easter. And these days are supposed to be the test of one's Christianity. It is nothing more than pure insanity. Or is it like today, which is called New Year's Day by our secular society? It is nowhere found in Scripture that this is the new year at the beginning of winter. The first month of our year, as it is in most of the world, is January. It's because the world has adopted the Roman Catholic calendar. The first month in the Bible is in the springtime, and the month when Passover is held, Exodus 12, verse 2, is when things begin to come alive once again after a season of temporary death and decay. It is time when Israel left Egypt and started their journey to the Promised Land. Exodus 12, verse 2, this month, Nisan, March to April, shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you, you being Israel. The Roman Catholic Church hates all Protestants and the Bible. The Jew hates the white race of Jacob, Israel, and their Savior, Jesus Christ. What a pair. Satanism is all that we have now in all the Israelite nations ruling in the parliaments, the Congress, the courts, and all the religions. Catholic translated into English means universal. Who else believes that salvation is now available to all races? Who now believes that we should celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ who died for sins of all the world without a word about this, exhorting us to do so in all the Bible? As Pastor Mark Downey said in his last sermon, we are commanded to do the following, Deuteronomy 4, 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I commanded you. The reason Esau hated Jacob. We saw in an introductory scripture verse that Esau hated Jacob and waited until after the death of his father to slay him. And why did he want to slay him? It's because Jacob received the covenantal blessing from their father that he was originally supposed to receive. What was the blessing that Jacob received that would cause Esau to want to murder him and his descendants for over three millennia? What was in the blessing that forever has the descendants of Esau focused on an intense hatred of Israel? Well, let's look at it. It's Genesis 27, verses 28 and 29. Therefore, God gave thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. These two verses tell the reader of the important truth of Isaac's blessings to Jacob. It contained 10 major blessings to Jacob and his seed. The 10 blessings are still in effect to this day. Number one, God would give Jacob and his seed the dew of heaven. Two, the fatness of the earth. Three, plenty of corn. Four, plenty of wine. Five, people would serve Jacob's seed. Six, nations would bow down to Jacob's seed. Seven, Jacob's seed would be over Esau and his descendants. Eight, Esau and his descendants would bow down to Jacob's descendants. Nine, those who cursed Jacob and his descendants would be cursed. And 10, those who blessed Jacob and his descendants would be blessed. That's a pretty good blessing. Very shortly after Jacob received this tenfold blessing by his deceived father, Isaac, Esau returned with his killed deer. After fixing the venison, he went to his father and told him to eat and bless him. His father, the scripture then tells us, trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed." Isaac was totally deceived, and he was very exceedingly troubled. He had blessed Jacob, thinking that it was his older brother Esau. Jacob had the skins of goats put on his hands and neck to imitate the body of Esau, but he still had his own voice. He smelled like Esau, but it's because he dressed in the animal smell raiment of the hunter. Isaac at the time was partially blind and was convinced that he was blessing Esau. He predicted that Jacob would be blessed above Esau in both material and spiritual things. He thought he was predicting that Esau would be blessed more than Jacob. No wonder Esau was upset. Whoever blessed Jacob and his descendants would be blessed. And the contrary was also true. Who do you think cursed Jacob? And if they cursed Jacob, are they not cursed? Didn't Esau curse Jacob over and over and over? Genesis 27, verse 34 through 38. "And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceedingly bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to Esau, Behold, I have made him thy Lord. And all his brethren have I given him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Jacob received the blessings that he would dwell in a land that would richly supply him with plenty to eat. People would serve him and nations would bow down to him, and he would lord over Esau and his descendants. And whoever cursed Jacob and his descendants would be cursed. And whoever blessed Jacob and his descendants would be blessed. Would failing to receive this blessing make a person one a murderer recipient of the blessing, even if it was your own twin brother, and especially if it was stolen from you by deceit? When their mother, Rebekah, was experiencing a difficult time when she was pregnant, it was said to her, quote, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. That's Genesis 25, 23. The Bible repeats several times over that Jacob and Esau are not created equal. The elder shall serve the younger is proof of this. And this is repeated in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 9, verses 11 through 13, it reads, quote, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder, Esau, shall serve the younger, Jacob. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Unquote. New Testament. Esau hated Jacob, but God hated Esau. That is what the Bible tells us. These two rival nations have been fighting ever since they were in the womb for over 3,000 years. Question. If you believe that this prophecy about Jacob is true, then how could the equality of all the races be true? Weren't certain people to serve Jacob? Weren't there nations that would bow down to him? Wasn't he to be lord over Esau? And wasn't this to continue to the present time? But Esau pleaded with his father to give him a blessing. What did Esau finally bless Esau with? Genesis 27, it should be 29 to 30. "And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. And thy sword thou shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother, and shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion, and thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." Esau passed this hatred to his offspring, for they consistently were always ready to war against the descendants of Jacob all down through history. Esau would survive by the sword. And he had one little sliver of hope. There would come a time when he would break Jacob's yoke from off his neck. When did that happen? We will report on that in a future sermon. But first we read in the Bible of Esau's grandson, Amalek, and his descendants, who were the first to attack Israel as they entered Canaan. The Amaleks fought in the Bible against one, Moses, 2, Joshua, 3, the judges, 4, King Saul, and 5, King David. In the first battle against Israel, God had declared that he will have war with the Amaleks from generation to generation. God would fight against the seed of the Amaleks, the grandson of Esau, forever. If you were a descendant of Amalek, would you love a God who said he would fight against you forever? There is no indication that this war would ever end peacefully. In that battle, the Amaleks were defeated because Moses had to sit on a rock with Aaron on one side and Ur on the other, keeping Moses' hands raised with the rod of God. If Moses' hands were raised up, the Israelites prevailed. When his hands fell, the Amalekites prevailed. That's why Aaron and Ur had to help Moses keep his hands up in a position of surrender to God's will. The Amalekites also caused King Saul to lose his kingship because the first Israelite king failed to eliminate all of them from the earth but save the rival king of the Amalekites. God commanded Saul to go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both men and women, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. 1 Samuel 15:3. That was genocide. Why did God want King Saul to completely eradicate the Amalekites? Did the Amalekites curse Jacob's seed? Then they would be a cursed people, and they were. How were they equal? The hatred continues. And then we go all the way to the birth of a little boy who the king of Judea tried to murder. Why? Matthew 2:16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly angry and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all its borders from 2 years old and under, according to the time when he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Who was Herod? In the footnote of the Scofield Bible on page 993, it says that Herod's family was nominally Jewish and was from the lineage of Idumean, which is Edomite. The Jewish scribes who wrote Scofield's notes messed up, for they wrote that Herod was an Edomite and Jewish. And that is surprising to many Christians of today, and it's true. Herod was a descendant of Esau, Edom. But how could Herod, who was an Edomite, be part of the seed of Jacob? The Edomites were the first Jews in the world. Herod was an Edomite Jew. He was not in the line of Jacob. It was in the line of Esau that he was Jewish, not the line of Jacob. But it's not just the Scofield notes that say that Herod was Jewish. Even the Standard Jewish Encyclopedia, page 592, says, quote, "From then on, the Edomites constituted a part of the Jewish people, Herod being one of their descendants," unquote. The Encyclopedia Judicia, the Jewish Encyclopedia, and the Antiquities of the Jews also gives the same information. The descendants of Esau became Jews, which also means that the descendants of Jacob were never Jews unless they were proselytized or interracially married. Herod the Jew had inquired of the wise men who had come from Persia to give gifts to the future king of Israel. Why would Herod attempt to deceive the wise men and murder this little boy who was born of a pure-blooded Israelite woman? It was because Esau hated Jacob. Esau's descendants hate Jacob's descendants. Therefore, Herod hated Jacob. And that is the reason Herod hated Jesus Christ, the descendant of Jacob. That is the reason that all Jews hated Jesus Christ. That is the reason that all Jews today still hate Jesus Christ. Herod was not trying to murder another Jew. It wasn't Jew against Jew. It was the old story of Esau versus Jacob. From our last study, do you remember who was giving birth at Bethlehem? It was Rachel who died giving birth to her second son, Benjamin. This was a prediction made by Jeremiah that was fulfilled on that murderous day. The prophecy is given in Jeremiah 31:15 as repeated in Matthew 2:18. Matthew 2:18 says, quote, "In Ramah which was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not." Jeremiah 31:15 says, "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not." Almost three decades later, we find another tale of unprovoked hate against the ministry of Jesus Christ. The Pharisees, after Jesus healed a paralyzed man, were so infuriated that they held a council meeting to decide how they could eliminate his influence on the people. They decided to kill him because he had healed a man on the Sabbath day. Matthew 12:14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, referring to Jesus, how they might destroy him. I went to church for years and never heard this verse ever used in a sermon. I wasn't taught that it was the Edomites who were the original Jews. I was taught it was the 12 sons of Jacob who were the Jews. How could the Edomites and the sons of Jacob both be Jews? I wasn't taught that it was the Edomites who hated Jesus Christ from his birth. I didn't know it was the Pharisees who held a council and plotted how they might have his ministry destroyed. Now, who were the Pharisees? Rabbi Louis Finkelstein, one of the leading authorities on Judaism, asserted, 1. Phariseeism became Talmudism. 2. Talmudism became medieval rabbinism. 3. Medieval rabbinism became modern rabbinism. But throughout these changes of name, the spirit of the ancient Pharisee survives unaltered. This well-known rabbi writes that the modern Jew is descended directly from the Pharisees. The Pharisees were not 100% Edomite, but they had very quickly killed off many of the true Israelites that once held that position and substituted their own kind, Edomites, in their position in the Sanhedrin. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were almost all Canaanites or Edomites by the time of Jesus Christ. They had no need to repent, for they couldn't. One doesn't have to repent for who you are, but only for what you have done. The Pharisees and Sadducees were not from a physical seed line of the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but from a seed line of the devil. Jesus referred to them as being serpents and offspring of vipers and asked, how can they escape the damnation of hell? Pharisees, there were a few exceptions, the Apostle Paul, Joseph, Arimathea, Nicodemus, etc., revered the tradition of the elders over God's holy word. They were in competition with the Sadducees for power and influence. The Sadducees were humanists. They were wealthy and of a high position who lived for one life only and rejected the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist identified the Pharisees and Sadducees as a brood of vipers because he knew they were racial mongrels just like they are today. Question. How could these vipers turn into the sheep of God in just a matter of a couple years? Both John the Baptist and Jesus Christ are quoted from the Bible asking the question, how can these vipers escape the damnation of hell? Judeo-Christians say they can. They claim that in less than 3 years, Jesus died, rose again, so any person who was living from that time onward can be saved. And that would include these vipers that Jesus Christ drove out from the house of the Lord. If the doctrine of the Judeo-Christian is correct, that would mean that we'd have no genetic enemies. It's only the spiritual enemies that we now have. The battle between Cain and Abel is over. But is Genesis 3:15 still in play? And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Is there enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman today? Is Genesis 3:16 over? Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Because of the sin of Eve, the man is to rule over her. But the husband, having rule over his wife, went out with the Jewish-led feminist movement in the middle of the 1900s. All genders are now said to be equal. The battle between Esau and Jacob is over. Esau hated Jacob and sought to slay him. Esau became the Jews, and Jacob became the Christians. Therefore, the Jews hate and have as their lifetime goal to destroy the Christians. The Jews say in their Talmud that Jesus was a mongrel, the offspring between the prostitute Mary and a Roman soldier. He was crucified for his hatred against the Jewish nation, as now is in hell, boiling in a pot of hot semen. I would say that Esau still hates Jacob. The battle between Canaan and Israel is over. Cursed be Canaan. Are the Israelites allowed to marry a descendant of the Canaanites? Since 1967, in the United States, the federal law states that any person can marry any other person, no matter what his, her, race, religion, or creed may be. That is directly against the law of God, and we should not keep it. Matthew chapter 12, verse 3 and 4. Then assembled together the chief priests and scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. And consulted they may take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. The Jews once again showed their hatred of the King of Kings. This was the 10th time they had plotted the murder of Jesus Christ. 10th time. Matthew 21:45. When the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spoke of them. Jesus spoke of the parable of the householder, where the householder killed the son who was the heir. The householder reasoned that they would seize upon the inheritance once the real heir was dead. Sounds like what Esau would do. Kill all the descendants of Jacob so that the inheritance would go to him, since there was no one else left to give it to. In other words, they think if they kill off all the rightful heirs, then Esau would be eligible to receive the inheritance. John chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. And found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, which is a counter for money, a broker's office for loans at interest. Verses like this one shatters the Judeo-Christian's diminutive view of God. God is love. This verse depicts him as driving out the Jewish moneylenders out of the temple with a whip. This was the first time that Jesus purified the temple. Mark 11:15. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the table of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. This tells of Jesus' second cleansing of the temple during his life, which is also written about in Matthew 21:12. Matthew 23:13-36. Jesus pronounces 8 woes against the scribes and the Pharisees. It's a scathing rebuke, constantly referring to them as being serpents and a generation of vipers. Luke 4:28-30. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill whereupon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Almost immediately in Jesus' ministry, the Jews tried to kill him. Right after the temptation of Jesus, he, within a couple of days, went to his hometown of Nazareth and went to the synagogue. While there, he read from the book of Isaiah and gave a short commentary. The effect of a short sermon produced the wrath of many in the synagogue. The Jews immediately led Jesus to the brow of the hill to cast him to his death. Esau hated Jacob. John 5:18. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but he said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. The Jews sought to kill Jesus because he claimed equality with God. This was right after they had wanted to slay Jesus because he had healed a person on the Sabbath. John 7:1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For he would not walk in jewelry because the Jews sought to kill him. Jesus' ministry still had a way to go, and the Bible says that he walked in the northern parts of Israel, not in the southern part. The reason? Because the Jews sought to kill him. Much of Jerusalem was where the Edomite Jews had residence. There were a few Judahites living there, but the vast number of true Israelites, mostly from the tribe of Benjamin, lived in northern Galilee. John 7:25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they, the Jews, seek to kill? It was common knowledge among the inhabitants of Jerusalem that the Jews sought to kill Jesus. John 7:30-32. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these what this man had done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. and the Pharisees and chief priests sent officers to take him. The Jews, the Pharisees and chief priests plot to arrest Jesus with the intent to kill him for claiming that he was from God. John chapter 7, verses 40 through 44. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. This was another attempt to kill Jesus, but it failed. Esau hated Jacob. John chapter 8, verse 59. Then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus, before the Jews tried to kill him once again, refuted their claim that they were children of God. He said that their father was the devil and they had the same attributes as he had. Immediately before they tried to stone him to death, he told them that he was before Abraham was. John chapter 10, 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. The Jews once again attempted to kill Jesus for stoning for claiming his deity. They responded to a question asked by Jesus that they were stoning him for blasphemy and because he, being a man, make himself God. John chapter 10, verse 39. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. The Jews, this is for the seventh time, attempted to kill Jesus. This time this was for teaching about his deity. John chapter 11, verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. The chief priests and Pharisees plot against Jesus. They hold a council meeting and decide to kill him. John chapter 11, verse 53 through 54. From that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. The Jews make a determined effort to kill Jesus for the ninth time. Jesus refrains from going to Jerusalem because of the desire to kill him. John chapter 11, verse 55 through 57. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. And many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple. What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment, that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. The Jews sought to kill Jesus even at the Passover feast. They gave a commandment that any man who saw him might tell them where he was so they could arrest him. John chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they may put Lazarus also to the death. The chief priests, the Jews, even desired to kill Lazarus because of their hatred for Jesus. Esau hated Jacob. John 18, 3, 10, and 12. Jesus was arrested by Jewish soldiers. John 18, 13 through 14. Jesus was tried by Jewish leaders who had already decided on his guilt. John 18, verses 28 through 30, 19, 1 through 7, 12, and 15. The Jews were adamant in the desires to kill Jesus. These verses tell the time when Jesus is taken before Pilate. The Jews constantly keep the theme that Jesus must die. John 19, 16 through 18, the Jews lead Jesus away to be crucified. Well, that's a lot of verse. There are more scriptures that I could give, but if you're not convinced yet that it was the Jews who hated Jesus Christ and killed him, more verses wouldn't help. You will never believe. The Israelites were mainly in the islands in Western Europe, the continent of Europe, Babylonia, Syria, and across the Caucasus Mountains. There were less than 2% of all Israelites who ever heard Jesus Christ preach. Millions of Christians sing this hymn during Christmas season and don't realize what they're singing. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They are singing that Jesus Christ was born to be the King of Israel, not the King of China, or the King of the Zulus, or the King of the Mexicans, or the King of everyone in the whole world. And then there is the Hallelujah chorus. us the significance of the Old Testament stories. Why are they important if they do not have any meaning in today's world? Who are the Jews? Who are the true Israelites? Who are the people of the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Isn't that exclusive? I became disenfranchised in the mainstream church when I noticed the amount of times the Jews tried to murder Jesus Christ. And then they finally succeeded. It took me many years to figure out they were not of the seed of Jacob. Then after his death, it was the Jews who bribed the guards to disregard the resurrection of Jesus. Then after Christianity began, they murdered all his disciples and many of his followers. They brought false doctrine into the churches, and it has never stopped. Esau still hates Jacob. Hebrews 13:20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel," to be continued.